said, rearrange my family tree. A chicken is what I want to be.
Welcome, welcome this week to Country Joe's Chicken Show here on All Paws Pet Talk Radio. My name is Karen Watts, also known as Karen at petoftheday.com, and I am the co-host here on Country Joe's Chicken Show. Country Joe is, at the moment, still among the missing. We think, you know, maybe some of the turkeys have him cornered in a pen out there down in Florida or something. But we have our first guest with us, and his name is Mr. Tony Patty, and he is from New England Pigeon and Livestock Supply. Welcome.
Thank you, Karen. It's glad to be here with you.
Now, we've had a pigeon person on the show before, and we got a lot of people responding, asking all sorts of questions about pigeons. And apparently, lots of people out there are fascinated with pigeons. So we sneak you on, even though it's supposedly a chicken show.
Well, that's okay. The pigeons won't mind playing second fiddle.
Now, have you been a pigeon person your whole life?
Virtually my whole life, yes. I was first introduced to them as a very young child. My father had them, had feral pigeons in with his chickens.
So that's funny.
I guess you could say I've been with chickens, too.
I was going to say this. So it's no problem with pigeons having them on a chicken show or chickens having them on a pigeon show, as they apparently get along well.
There you go.
And how did you decide to start the New England, the business is New England Pigeon and Livestock Supply. How did you get into that?
Well, the pigeons were my hobby for many years. And eventually I was looking for, I guess I'm an entrepreneur at heart anyway, so I went into a business at the time. It was New England Bird Supply. And I was wholesaling pet birds to pet shops and so on. After 3 or 4 years, the economy wasn't very good, and I decided that I wasn't going to go anyplace for that. And so I still had, of course, I had the pigeons and knew an awful lot of people and thought that I would just make a little transfer there from the pet birds over to pigeon supplies. And at the time, I was still working full-time as an engineer, so I was only doing it part-time. But I retired in 2004, and that's when I went full bore on it. And we have a very nice website, and we ship all over the country and even all over the world, actually.
Now, how many pigeons do you have yourself at a time?
That's hard to say. Very few people really know how many they have. I would say right now I have roughly 200. This mm-hmm. is the time of year when you have a lot of young birds that you haven't gone through and culled and sold. So you would have more this time of year than any time. And right now I guess I have about 200.
And do you normally sell them to people as pets or as... dare I tread gently here? I know that there are a lot of restaurants now serving, but they never call it pigeon; they call it squab.
Well, actually, that's you asked me how I got started with them, and actually, I started. I was first introduced to them because they were on my plate. My father used to butcher the young ones, and my mother would put them in spaghetti sauce.
Mm-hmm.
So, and they're very good. And as you said, it's actually called squab. And,
yeah, I've noticed on a lot of, like, you know, fancy cooking shows, all of a sudden it seems to be making a comeback in the mm-hmm. restaurant world.
Mm-hmm. Well, they are served at high-class restaurants, but the average person probably wouldn't dine on squab. But at one time, it was so popular that... the newspapers actually track the prices, the wholesale prices of squab, and it was quite a market.
So it was a commodity.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes, it was. Mm-hmm.
And are there different breeds of pigeons? I don't know that much about pigeons. I know about mourning doves because I have those in my yard and I feed those and they're very mm-hmm. shy. Mm-hmm. But are there different kinds of pigeons?
Well, there are roughly 650 different breeds of pigeons and doves.
Wow.
And just like you would have different breeds of dogs at a dog show,
mm-hmm.
We have several breeds of pigeons that come in a wide variety of shapes, sizes, and colors. Different people usually specialize in one or two breeds. But yes, I do have a lot of customers who are also pet people. They just like pigeons and they just want to have a couple in their backyard. And I think that's fine. Everyone should get out of a hobby, whatever suits them.
Yes, as I said at the beginning of the show, my husband and I run a website called petoftheday.com, and we have had over the years just a couple people who have nominated their pet pigeon for Pet of the Day.
Mm-hmm. Actually, I just had a lady, a customer of mine, leave here about a half hour ago. She had brought a young one over that had something wrong with its leg, and I tried to help her with that. And, so we're kind of a full-service operation here. We give a lot of advice to people and help, and actually selling pigeons is not a big part of our business. We mainly sell products like medications and loft supplies and so on. And, of course, we have medications for poultry, too.
Mm-hmm. I understand we have – Joe is now with us, Country Joe. Welcome to your own show.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Well, I was curious Tony, a lot of people around here have asked me a lot about pigeons, racing pigeons especially. It's a fascination. And I know very little about it, and that's why we wanted to introduce someone in the pigeon world in here.
Mm-hmm.
And I understand that these pigeons can get quite expensive. Remember, Karen, a while back we did a show where they were talking some of these pigeons can go like $100,000.
Absolutely. Just like stud racehorses. There's been a lot of money spent on racing pigeons. Racing is the probably the most popular facet of the hobby. There are more racing pigeons than there are show pigeons.
Wow, that's interesting. So what's an average racing pigeon sell for, just if somebody wanted to get in as a beginner?
Actually, a lot of racing people will give people racing pigeons to get them started.
Wow.
There are a lot of very, very good people who do that. It's after you're in for a while and you want to start buying top bloodlines that you might have to start spending a few hundred dollars for a pair of good pedigree pigeons.
Now, we've only got about a minute left for this segment, Joe, so we don't want to get too involved. But do you race any pigeons yourself, Mr. Patty?
Oh, absolutely. I have a couple of hundred here.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
I specialize in a breed called Helmets.
Uh-huh. Now, how far do they race?
They don't. That's strictly a show bird.
Oh, it is?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
And
Is it named for the helmet?
Is it named for their coloring or the size? Tell you what, guys, we only have 30 seconds left for this segment. So, Mr. Patty, will you stick with us? Because I know Joe's got a whole lot of questions for you.
Sure, I'll be glad to.
All right, folks, we will be right back with more of Country Joe's Chicken Show here on All Paws Pet Talk Radio.
When it comes to health expenses, dog owners have it rough. Now, thanks to veterinarian and dermatologist Dr. Kristen Holm, your dog can be goo healthy. There's Doggy Goo to fight environmental pet allergies, Goo Gut Rescue for rescuing your dog's gut health, and Goo Silver, a broad-spectrum supplement for the special needs of your senior varsity dog. So visit HealthyGoo.com today or call 855-246-2426, and your dog can be healthy goo, healthy.
NuVet Plus, your pet's best friend. NuVet Plus is an immune system builder that is safe for all stages of your dog's life. Helps eliminate most issues, including allergies, scratching and itching, hot spots, arthritis and joint issues, chronic ear infections, tear staining, lack of energy, digestive issues, and so much more. All natural, manufactured in an FDA-registered human pharmaceutical lab here in the USA, using ingredients sourced in the USA. Nothing artificial, no sugars, wheat, corn, or dyes. Never heat-treated to help retain all the natural, rich ingredients. Comes with a 60-day money-back guarantee and is only pennies a day. Call us Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 5 p.m. Pacific Time at 1-800-474-7044. That's 1-800-474-7044. And tell them you are referred by All Paws Pet Talk Radio. Or go online to www.nuvet.com. That's www.nuvet.com. Use order code 33955. Again, www.nuvet.com. Order code 33955. Put your pet on the path to good health.
Does your dog have muddy, dirty paws? Well, here's your answer. The Paw Wash cleans dog's paws fast and easy. Just insert your dog's paw and leg into the device and pump up and down. The Paw Wash's unique hourglass design creates a suction of power that pulls that dirt, mud, sand, or salt off the paw and leg, and it stays in the device. You can clean all four paws in a little over a minute with just one fill. For retail or online sales, go to www.thepawwash.com. That's www.thepawwash.com.
Rearrange my family tree. A chicken is what I want to be.
Welcome back to Country Joe's Chicken Show, now in the presence of Country Joe himself, and we're still talking with Tony Patty of New England Pigeon Supplies. And I know, Joe, you have a bunch of questions, so I'll let you get right into it.
Well, yeah, I understand, Tony, that the top-end show pigeons and all of this don't eat corn. I always thought that was a staple of a pigeon, but I understand that's not. Is that true?
No, that's not true at all. They should not get cracked corn, though, because cracked corn can cause canker in their throat.
Uh-huh.
So if they're going to get corn, they should get either whole corn, popcorn, or flint corn.
Okay.
And there are some breeds that, quite frankly, aren't suited for corn because of their size of their beaks, the opening of their gap, and some of the corns are too big for them. But racing homers, for example, love corn, and corn is especially good for them in the winter because it produces heat and energy. So, no, that's not true. There are mixes with corn, and there are mixes that don't have corn in them.
Yeah, well, that's what I, like I say, with little I knew. And then I was just wondering, on the racing pigeons, again, people have asked me, what are the distances? What's the farthest they can race? What's the, that sort of thing?
Well, in the United States, the longest race is usually 600 miles.
Okay.
And they start out.
Yeah.
Yeah. They start out the season at about 100 miles, and they'll go to 2 and then 3. And then usually the last race of the season is a 600-mile race.
Wow.
And how do you train if a child or someone is getting into pigeons? How do you train a pigeon to race?
Well, first of all, most people don't realize that when pigeons race, they only race in one direction, and that's home. So when there's going to be a race, it's usually sponsored by a club. The members of the club will get together and go to the clubhouse, register their birds, and turn their birds over to the person who's going to take the birds out to a release point. So you could have, for example, say 20 lofts in the race. Maybe there's 400 birds, 500 birds. So they'll go out to the release point, and the release point is geographically figured out as in terms of distance to all of the lofts.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really, when the birds race, it's not really the bird that gets home first. It's the bird that flew the fastest to get home.
Wow.
And it's calculated in yards per minute. As soon as the birds come in, they have a chip on their band. They go through a scanner. It registers the time that they get back.
Yeah, because I was interested in that. Say I live 10 miles further away than my competitor,
Mm-hmm.
That's what I was wondering, how they measured that.
Yeah, that's the way they do it. It's one bird could get back sooner than the other, but the bird that flew the furthest could end up flying the fastest, and that's the way it's calculated.
Wow, that's
interesting. And how fast do they fly on average, and how fast is the fastest? Do you know?
Well, for example, there are birds that they call them day birds that will come back from a 600-mile race the same day.
Wow.
So that works out to what about if they fly for, say, 10 hours?
Right there, that's as fast as a car.
60 miles an hour?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
So they can really go.
Uh-huh. Now, is there any special, when you say aloft, you know, when you keep them here, like say I wanted to get pigeons with chickens or something, you have to have a separate area. Is there anything special that you have to do to keep pigeons?
Well, I'm not sure I know what you mean by special.
Well, a special place or height or...
Well, most people keep them in a loft, which is similar to the building you would have for chickens.
Right.
Except pigeons like to go up high while chickens stay on the floor.
Right.
And,
okay.
They nest up along the wall. You put up nests, usually shelving.
Mm-hmm.
And it's generally not advisable to keep pigeons with chickens. They can coexist, but the people who are really serious don't mix their pigeons with their chickens.
Okay. Okay. Now, and all the pigeons can stay together. There's no worries about interbreeding if you have a high-class racing pigeon versus a tumbler pigeon or something.
Pigeons are not selective at all.
Uh huh.
if they're looking for a mate, if it's a pigeon, it's game. So.
So if you only want your racing pigeon to breed, you need to keep it separate.
Yeah,
and only with other racing pigeons.
If you're breeding for a specific, you're doing a genetic test or something, or you want particular birds to breed, you have to mate them separately and then put them in the loft after they've mated.
Uh-huh. Okay. Well, that's interesting. Now, do you free feed them? I mean, let them eat as much as they want during the day, or is there a set amount per bird?
The ideal feeding program for pigeons is twice a day. What they can eat in about 30 minutes.
Okay.
And it's best to actually take the feeder right out, especially for the second feeding, because it's not a good idea to have feed in the loft at night.
Uh-huh.
If you are going to have rodents,
yeah,
you're giving the rodents something to eat. Also, if the rodents urinate in the feed, the pigeons can get sick from that.
Oh, wow.
So it's a good idea to only give them what they can eat in a short time. It also keeps them from wasting food and then eating it off the floor later on.
So. Uh-huh. Okay. Now, getting into the fun pigeons, I guess, you know, the tumblers and the rollers and the mm-hmm. and all of those things. Mm-hmm. Now, do you keep those separate, obviously, from your racing pigeons, right, in another loft?
Yeah, you wouldn't fly them together because they fly very different.
Right.
Yeah, rollers, they use the term butterfly. They fly much slower, and they don't go usually don't go too high. I mean, different strains will fly at different heights, but rollers pretty much stay close to home, and they fly much slower. Racing homers fly a lot faster, and generally, after you let them loose, they've been out for 3 or 4 weeks. They'll do what they call routing, where they just simply disappear. You don't know where they go.
Wow.
And they take off for an hour, 2 hours, 3 hours, and then come back, hopefully.
Uh-huh.
You know, it's amazing how smart they can be. When my dad worked at a power plant with huge, tall smokestacks, there were hawks that moved in, and the pigeons around there that survived were the pigeons that would fly less than a foot off the ground and really fast because they knew the hawks couldn't dive and get them.
Wow.
Hmm. Well, there are different ways to approach that for the pigeon. Some will dive down low because they tried to get under a bush or under something to get away from the hawk. Others will actually try to go high and fly above the hawk because the hawk can't attack them from below. It has to come down on them from
right.
above.
Right. You know, gentlemen, we are running out of time for this segment. Joe always hates when I say that.
I do.
I do. Will you stick with us?
I'll stay for another segment, sure.
Excellent. That'll be good because I know Joe has been saving up questions to ask you, just so you are forewarned.
All right.
And folks, we will be right back with more Country Joe's Chicken Show here on All Paws Pet Talk Radio. And if you have any questions for Joe or any of our guests, you can go to the website allpawspetalk.com. And there's a form right there on the homepage where you can leave us questions. And we'll be right back for more.
Get in on the fun and the rewards of caring for animals as a professional. Train to be a pet groomer or a veterinary assistant at the Florida Institute of Animal Arts. Turn your love for animals into a lifelong career. There are thousands of jobs in the growing professions of pet groomer and veterinary assistant. We help place graduates. Ask about tuition financing. The Florida Institute of Animal Arts, Winter Park, 407-869-PETS. On the web at myfiaa.com.
As a dog owner, you know that dogs can eat just about anything. But when food becomes a health troublemaker, or your animal has been on antibiotics or heavy meds, or GI issues set in, your animal's gut may be out of balance and needs Goo Gut Rescue. Goo Gut Rescue is 100% natural and veterinarian prebiotic and probiotic formulated to rescue your animal's gut from bad bug dominance. Remember, your dog's total health begins with gut health. Don't delay. Visit GooGutRescue.com.
She said, rearrange my family tree. A chicken is what I want to be.
Welcome back to Country Joe's Chicken Show, and we're talking about a different kind of poultry today. We have Tony Patty from New England Pigeon Supply. And I know we had talked about a little bit, while people couldn't hear us, about children raising pigeons. And did you want to talk a little bit about that, whether that's a good idea and how kids can get into it?
Well, pigeon hobby is a wonderful hobby for children. It teaches them responsibility. Pigeons often reflect a lot of what goes on in our own society. When I first became interested in pigeons as a child, I started to just watch them. I would take a bushel basket and turn it over in a loft and just watch them. And the community, it's like a community, of people. There's nest building, there's child rearing, adultery, property ownership, courtship and affection, fighting, pedophilia. They're an amazing bird to watch, so children could learn a lot from having pigeons, and it also keeps them away from other things that might distracting things that might not be helpful to them.
Now, how could people find a pigeon club or in their area? Is there a place to go on the website or something?
Well, I think the place to start would be the National Pigeon Association.
Okay.
And they have a beautiful website. It's www.npausa.com.
Uh-huh.
And it's national.
Yeah.
There are 8 districts in the club, which represent various states of the country. As a matter of fact, I happen to be the District 1 director, which is the New England area. And these directors can help people locate pigeon people in their area. And there's also a membership list in there so that you could track down people. You could see the different varieties of birds and see which ones you're interested in. It's quite a nice website. It's definitely worth looking at.
Yeah. And now, why don't you give us your website so people can get a hold of you and see, because I've gone on and you've got quite an extensive website yourself.
Yeah. Well, as I said earlier, we're always happy to help people out and give advice. We could be emailed. You could email us at info@nepigeonsupplies.com. And the website is nepigeonsupplies.com.
And that's the letter N, the letter E, not the word any. It's New England.
No, not any. It's N-E for New England.
Mm-hmm. Right.
NEPigeonSupplies.com.
Wow.
Okay. And you have
and you carry all the supplies, everything, and how to get going. Well, is there a starter book, how to get going in this? Is there anybody come out with something like that?
There are some starter books that are available for novices.
Uh-huh.
And actually, the website is loaded with information about pigeons. Unfortunately, sometimes you might get into a chat room and you might not necessarily get information straight from people with a lot of experience. But
and you know,
generally,
that's one
if
thing.
You look up scientific information on pigeons, you'll get the straight scoop.
What I wanted to ask you is there a difference between pigeons and doves?
Yes, there is. They're two totally different birds. A lot of people refer to pigeons as doves. For example, when you see these so-called dove releases for ceremonies, weddings, funerals, grand openings, and that type of thing, and you'll see this flock of beautiful pigeons, usually white, flying out, and people think they're doves, but they're not. They're actually racing pigeons, racing homers.
Wow, interesting.
The doves would never be able to do that.
Uh-huh. I was going to ask you now, is there such a thing as keeping doves for pets or racing or whatnot, or is that not?
No, you would never use doves for racing. Doves are fine little pets, and matter of fact, they'd make a better pet for inside the house, I think, than a pigeon would.
Wow.
You could call them cousins.
Yeah.
There have been cases where a pigeon and a dove have reproduced, but I don't recall what the scientific name is, but the young one are basically mules. They can't reproduce themselves.
Oh, wow.
But they don't have the ability to go miles away. It's only the racing homer that has that capability. Other pigeons, also all pigeons have a homing instinct, but none of them have the homing instinct of the racing homer.
Okay. Now, I had another person a while back here ask me what the largest pigeon was, and I said I would ask, you know, and weight, heights, and whatever.
Well, I think one of the, if not the largest domestic one, would be called, it's kind of a strange name, but it's called the runt.
Really?
A giant runt.
Huh.
They were originally, as a lot of breeds are, they were originally bred for meat.
Uh-huh.
But they're now mostly bred for show. And they're probably, I would say they may weigh about 2 pounds.
Yeah, pretty big for a pigeon, huh? Gosh. Now, are these the pigeons in general, are they expensive to buy? Say you just wanted, you know, pet pigeons or whatever.
Are they expensive
to get? Yeah.
No. If someone wanted just pet pigeons, they wouldn't even have to have a particular breed or a thoroughbred. Some of the crossbreeds are very, very beautiful, and you could get them for virtually nothing.
Mm.
And they would make excellent backyard pets.
Now, how long do you have to keep them before they wouldn't fly away and not come back?
Well, that depends on whether the bird has flown at someone else's loft, for one thing.
Right.
It depends on how old the bird is. Generally, if you buy or you're given babies, say 6 to 8 weeks old, you only have to keep them in 2 or 3 weeks, and you can let them out in their home. If they've flown before, there have been cases where birds have been kept in for 4 or 5 years and still going back to their previous owner.
Wow. Oh, wow. So it's best to start them out really young if you want to be able to let them out and fly around and come home. Tony,
absolutely.
I want to thank you so much. We are running out of time for this segment with you, and I want to give your website again, which is NENewEnglandPigeonSupplies.com. And I want to thank you so much for being on the show today with us.
Well, yeah, Tony.
It's a lot of fun.
Yeah, we'd love to have you back here in a few weeks. You know, I'm sure I'll be getting tons of questions now.
Sure. I'll look forward to it, Joe.
Okay, that sounds great.
Excellent, and we will be right back, folks, with more of Country Joe's Chicken Show here on All Paws Pet Talk Radio.
I'm a green chicken.
Our dogs are part of our family, an integral part of our lives, providing comfort, exercise, and companionship. All too often, however, this relationship is tested through dog naughtiness and general poor behavior. Our dog does not come when called, digs the garden, and many other issues that create frustration and a break in the relationship we seek. You love him, but you don't like him. Today's e-callers remote trainers have been developed to help you train your dog and overcome these issues that can result in separation from the family and worse. E-collar technology has been developed to help the everyday dog owner. Collars that set limit on the levels of stimulation and therefore limiting mistakes. If you seek a training aid that will assist you overcome the unwanted issues, e-collar technology products have developed dog training technology for the modern world that uses the lowest levels of distractive stimulus to improve behavior and reduce stress. www.ecollar.com. That's www.ecollar.com.
Attention all pet lovers! Do you love your furry pet? Well, I want to introduce to you Paws and Silk, the first all-natural silk-filled pet bedding and apparel line that helps improve your pet's overall health and wellness. Paws and Silk is made using luxurious long-stranded silk and all-natural breathable cotton. Each product will help keep your pet cool and comfortable all year long. Paws and Silk pet beds and coats will also work as a barrier against dust, mites, and other allergens. Not only are they fashionable, but they also don't take on your pet's odor. Better yet, they're even machine washable. So, folks, here's what I want you to do. Visit Paws and Silk website at pawsandsilk.com to learn more about Paws and Silk and their incredible products. That's pawsandsilk.com. You can buy directly from the site, and they even ship all over North America. How easy is that? For more information, go to pawsandsilk.com or call their toll-free number, 877-678-7455.
She said, rearrange my family tree. A chicken is what I want to be.
Welcome back to Country Joe's Chicken Show here on All Paws Pet Talk Radio. And we have our next guest with us, and it is Dr. Cheryl Greenacre. And she has so many initials and titles after her name that I'm just going to leave it at that.
Oh, boy.
But she is from the Association of Avian Veterinarians. Welcome to All Paws Pet Talk, Cheryl.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for having me on, Karen and Country Joe.
Yeah, well, we got a lot of questions. I guess the first thing I'd like to start out with is people that have a few chickens in their backyards. Is there any problems or anything they ought to be looking for right off for as far as diseases or preventing diseases?
Sure. I would say probably the most common diseases we see are leg problems, which the most common disease there is Merrick's disease, which there is a vaccine for. Little chicks get vaccinated on day one of age or in the egg. So, you know, when you go to order chicks from a hatchery, you can pay a few cents more to have them vaccinated for Merrick's disease, and I would say it's well worth the money.
It is. Now, if say somebody does not, what are the chances of getting that disease in your flock? Is it higher? Is it common or not common?
It's one of the most common diseases we see. The other two are egg-related problems and respiratory diseases, having trouble breathing. But if the chicks are not vaccinated, it all depends if you have Merrick's disease in your area, and a lot of people are surprised to find out that they do have it in their area,
Now, what would it look like if say somebody has never seen that disease? What would your chicken act like or do?
Everybody talks about the chickens looking like they're doing the splits. To me, they look like they're surfing. They have one leg back and one leg forward. They're lethargic, fluffed, not eating as much, and they have this typical stance where they're lame in one leg, so they kind of rest on one side, and one leg is forward and the other one's back.
Now, I've seen that in turkeys. I've actually had turkeys that have had that. Does it spread from one bird to another, or is it?
Yeah, it's caused by a herpes virus, and you know the old saying, herpes is forever.
Yes.
Once you get it in your flock, it's really difficult to get rid of, so it's better to prevent this disease than it is to try to clean up the mess afterwards once you have it.
Yes, that's true.
And
so
you know, one of the questions,
if somebody notices that in their flock and they just separate the birds, you know, get rid of the birds, is there chances good of not having it spread, or is it pretty much a done deal?
Unfortunately, it can live a long time in the environment. So you can try to do a massive cleanup and separate. The thing is, it's difficult. Some can have it and not show full-blown signs, and so they're kind of your carriers, your sleepers in your flock
right.
that can then spread it to others.
Mm-hmm.
And you can clean up the environment and switch over to an entirely new area of your property, but it can be in the soil for months, from what I understand.
So, well, like when I change my flocks in their areas, I usually like to spray it down, you know, when nothing's in there, with like a bleach and water solution, and let it set for like a month before I put in my new flock. Is that helping out?
Yeah, that helps. It's recommended if you're trying to clean a facility to try to remove all the organic debris first by
right.
just cleaning it up and then disinfecting. And a one part bleach to nine part water dilute bleach solution gets a lot of things. It's probably
yeah.
one of the best disinfectants out there, and doesn't get everything. But and then make sure you don't put the birds back until it's completely free of any bleach smell.
Right. Yeah. Well, that's interesting. Is there any other common diseases that small flock owners ought to be looking for besides Marek's?
Respiratory diseases is one of the more common diseases that we see, and there are all different kinds of viruses and bacteria that can cause that, and that's where it's difficult to tell which one is causing the problem, or if you might have a virus and a bacteria at the same time. So
right.
That's where I'd recommend going to a veterinarian, and the question is, how do you find a veterinarian that works on chickens? And,
exactly.
Yes, that's what I was going to ask you, because a lot of times people say, you know, I have a veterinarian, but when I tried to bring my chicken in, they looked at me like I was insane.
And, yeah.
And
well, not
so,
everybody's trained in birds in veterinary school. Some veterinary schools teach avian medicine quite thoroughly, and others don't. And then it's whether the veterinarian has an interest in it, too. And veterinarians who have an interest in birds, a lot of them join the Association of Avian Veterinarians. That's about 1,500 veterinarians in that organization, and you can go on their website, www.aav.org, and it has a list by of all the veterinarians that are in the association. So at least they have an interest in birds, and so then you start calling in veterinarians in your area that are members of the AAV and say, hey, do you work on chickens? And if you don't, please recommend someone to me in the area that works on chickens, because they'll probably know.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yes, and when I went on your website the first time, this is how I found Dr. Greenacre, I noticed that the logo is like a macaw. So
mm-hmm.
are any avian vets just for the exotic birds and not for chickens, or is there enough in common with, say, a macaw and a Rhode Island Red so that anybody...
That's a good question. There are over 8,000 species of birds, and so when we say we work on birds, we include all of them. And I would say that veterinarians who work on birds would probably know a lot more about chickens than someone who doesn't really work with birds, like works with dogs and cats and not birds. And that's because, the whole anatomy and physiology and everything is completely different in birds compared to dogs and cats, you know. They lay eggs,
right.
And they have air sacs and all these different things. So they're completely different, and so that's a good place to start. Is with someone who's an avian vet, they most are very comfortable working with chickens. And
so I understand
and we're
you're
responding
running
to the need too.
Yeah.
You know, more and more people are interested in chickens and keeping chickens and bringing chickens to their vet, and so we're responding to that need by learning all we can about chickens. And how they're different than commercial chickens. And we're working with the commercial chicken veterinarians, too. They have this great body of knowledge. They've been working on chickens for decades, you know, and we're working together with them to try to help backyard chickens.
Okay. Now, you're writing a book, I understand, on health, chicken health?
Yeah, I'm co-editing a book with Dr. Teresa Morishita out at Western University College of Vet Med, and we're almost done. It's almost to the publisher. It's going to be called Backyard Poultry Medicine, a Guide for the Veterinary Practitioner. But the whole idea that started this whole book was there wasn't really a place for veterinarians to go to have one place where there was all this backyard chicken information. All the books that were out there available to us are commercial poultry books, and there are very few backyard poultry books. There's some out of England and stuff like that. But
wow. So this is definitely a need. You know, I'm going to cut you off there. We are running out of time for this segment. Will you stick with us for another?
I sure will.
Oh, excellent, because I know Joe will have more questions too. Folks, we will be right back with more of Country Joe's Chicken Show here on All Paws Pet Talk Radio.
For your dogs, running beside your bike is more rewarding canine exercise than any walk. It's also more dangerous. Until now. Introducing the amazingly stable Bike Toe Leash, the only safe dog biking attachment approved by the American Pet Association. The Bike Toe Leash installs in seconds on bikes, trikes, power chairs, and mobility scooters. No tools needed, and dogs learn it immediately. With a Bike Toe Leash, both dogs and rider can enjoy fun recreation anywhere, no matter what your ability level. To learn more and order your Bike Toe Leash, visit BikeToeLeash.com. That's BikeToeLeash.com. Bike toe leashes are made in the USA and ship worldwide. That website again is BikeToeLeash.com.
Treat your furry best friend with a clear conscience. Clear Conscience Pet, that is. Everything made by this family-owned company is artisan crafted in the USA. From family-farmed ingredient sources, holistically formulated for your pet's best health. And just plain delicious. Their treats, chews, and the amazing super gravy food topper for dogs and cats are simply the best you can buy. And the company has won 5 National Nutrition Awards to prove it. Now, Clear Conscience Pet is launching the Sliders brand, a true breakthrough in meaty treats featuring the purest tender meat treat ever made. No grain, no gluten, no glycerin or other chemicals found in typical moist treats. Sliders are pub fun snacks made from lean meats, nutritionally optimized with omega-rich organic flax and veggies. Enter the offer code RADIO at checkout and save 20% at clearconsciencepet.com. Your pets will love you for it.
She said, rearrange my family tree. A chicken is what I want to be.
Welcome back to Country Joe's Chicken Show here, and we have Dr. Cheryl Greenacre. Now, I know you are at the University of Tennessee.
Yes, I'm at the University of Tennessee College of Veterinary Medicine in Knoxville, Tennessee.
Uh-huh.
So you're training more chicken veterinarians, we hope.
Yes. We have about 85 vet students graduate every year, and there are 27 vet schools in North America, so there aren't that many.
Wow. Well, you know, the backyard chicken thing is just exploding here. Everybody wants backyard chickens now, so I'm sure that's going to be getting really popular. If it's not in your area now, it's sure going to be very shortly.
If someone is, you know, keeping chickens for the first time, how do they know when their chicken needs to go to the vet?
First you have to learn normal. What's normal for a chicken? You know, is it and what's abnormal? Like, it's abnormal for them to be fluffed and sitting in one corner and not being curious. Not interacting with the other chickens. And most people get them as chicks when they're little, and it's important to keep them at the right temperature when you first get them.
Mm-hmm.
If you have chicks that are all huddling underneath the light and they're all huddled together, they're probably a little too cold. And you just kind of learn normal behavior. And then if they do anything that's out of the ordinary, I would say they're probably sick in some way. And then you have to figure out, is it something you can do, or do you call a veterinarian and seek help from a veterinarian? And I would say veterinarians can help you in in a variety of ways. A lot of people go, oh, if I take it to the vet, it's going to be really expensive. Well, it's completely up to you how much you spend when you go to the veterinarian. I mean, there's the exam fee, but, you know, I have people come to me and say, well, I just want to do this, or I just want you to help me with this, and then we help just a little bit. And then I have other people who say, oh, I have, you know, my seizuring turkey. I've had him for 5 years. He's my part of my family. You know, what can you do? And, you know, we said, well, we could do an MRI, you know, and see what's wrong. And we can go all the way with surgery and x-ray and ultrasound and all that.
Oh, my God.
And now you mentioned in the last segment that one of the most common things you see is respiratory disease. Well, I'm a human, and I know what, sniffling, sneezing, coughing, choking, that's respiratory disease in a human. How does it present in a bird?
It's snicking in chickens. They do like that little sneeze cough thing. And then nasal discharge. And just like you or me, if it's clear nasal discharge, we're in a little bit. We're not too worried about it. But if it starts to get kind of opaque in color, then you do start to get worried that you might have a secondary bacterial infection and need to have it treated.
Worming is a big thing on my farm. You know, I'm always concerned about that. You know, that's another thing. Chickens can get really, really sick over if they're not wormed right. You know, and taken care of. I use diatomaceous earth, you know, the food grade, and that always seemed to work for me. Have you ever heard of that, using that?
Yes, I have. The trick comes in, if you have chickens that lay eggs and you eat the eggs, then you're kind of limited on what drugs, antibiotics, and dewormers and things that you can use in those
chickens.
So a lot of people use the food-grade diatomaceous earth. It's basically the skeletons of little diatoms that lived a long time ago. And the way that it's supposed to work is they poke little holes in the worms and the parasites and kill them that way. And they can use it as a little dust bath, or they can eat it. And you're right, you do need to use the kitchen-grade quality diatomaceous earth, so it doesn't have a bunch of chemical contaminants in it.
That's right, yeah, because you can buy it at the pool store, and that's the grade you don't want. But my feed store sells this, and they use it for cattle, horses, goats, everything. And a long time ago, somebody told me you just a handful in your feed for your chickens, and you never have a problem. And by gosh, I'll tell you, I swear by that stuff. I don't have worm problems. And like you say, you know, in the old days, we used to give them, the worming medicines about every 6 weeks. You can't eat the eggs for 10 days after that. And that was quite a pain, you know, having to throw away the eggs. And so that's why I went to diatomaceous earth. And boy,
and that sounds like something someone who just had a few chickens in the backyard could do more easily than trying to give medicine to their chickens.
Usually, yes. And the some of the young chickens it can get coccidia, where it causes like a bloody diarrhea. And there are medicated feeds that you can feed, medicated chick starters. And that type of medication at that age is appropriate for a bird that's going to be an egg layer later on. You just have to follow the label directions as to what it says for the age and the amount of medicine to give and the duration that you give it and all that.
Yeah, that's why I like to stick with the natural stuff, because, you know, when I sell my eggs, I tell everybody they're all natural. And, I just hate giving any kind of chemical or anything to my chickens. I just really hate that. So that's why, is there any other all-natural things that you could recommend besides diatomaceous earth for different things for chickens to keep them
goodness.
Healthy?
That's the most common one. That's about it that comes to mind right now.
Now, when you're in Tennessee, Joe's in Florida, I'm in Boston. So the climate is very different in different parts of the country. And are there different things that Joe needs to worry about that I don't need to worry about because of the climate?
let's see, temperature. You know, if you have a breed with a really large comb, you have to be worried about frostbite up in the northern areas. And I don't know the different breeds and strains as far as some are more hardy in the cooler climates. What is it, Country Joe, is it Russian Orloff or something like that that is really good in the cold temperatures?
Oh, yeah, there's plenty of chickens. Usually the smaller stuff they got hanging out on them, you know, the better they're going to be, right?
You don't want the big, impressive, fancy comb if you're going to be where, you know, it gets below zero on a regular basis in the wintertime.
Right. The smaller the comb, the better off they're going to be in cold weather. So I know that. But down here, like I say, I don't worry about that down here. But whereas northern chickens, you hear that all the time.
Especially as far
where
as
I used to come from.
Oh, go ahead.
No, go ahead, Dr. Cheryl.
Oh, I was just going to say, as far as diseases go, when we get together at avian veterinary conferences, we'll talk about, you're seeing more of this disease than I am, but we're all seeing about the same thing, just kind of maybe a little bit different proportions. But there might be more parasites down south. But other than that, it's
pretty much
equal.
If you've
the
got
one thing
chickens.
I would say is that if you're near the in California, Texas, those states that border Mexico, sometimes you can have exotic Newcastle disease, which is a foreign animal disease that we don't want in this country, coming up through that route. And that's something you always have to watch out for everywhere. But the outbreaks in the past have been in California.
You know, I am going to have to cut us off here. Joe hates when I do this. we are running out of time for this week's show. Dr. Cheryl, would you come back with us again sometime?
Yes, I'd be happy to.
Oh, good.
And thank you.
Well, we'll get a whole bunch of questions from all our listeners, and I'll give them all to you.
I'll try to answer them. I don't know everything.
Well,
and when you don't know a question, you can pose it to your students because you work at college and make them do the research for you.
Yeah, it becomes a learning issue.
That's right. Well, we are out of time for the show this week. And Joe, will you say it with me?
Hey, are you ready?
Everybody, yep. May the flock
be with you.
That's it for Country Joe's Chicken Show this week on All Paws Pet Talk Radio.